Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said in our gospel reading, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions." And St. Paul wrote, "You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." This is our text. Think for a moment about all the different things that people come to Jesus about and all the different things they ask him for. As I think through the scriptures, I recall blind beggars who ask Jesus for mercy, family and friends of sick people who ask him for healing, Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes who ask him about the law. And then there's this guy. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Oof. But still, I suppose it's better than not bringing this to Jesus, right? I mean, at least this someone thinks that Jesus has important things to say about inheritances and property. And he's not wrong. Not exactly. Jesus does have something to say. He's got a lot to say. Just not quite what this guy had in mind. Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And you can hear the air being let out of that man's balloon. There go the man's hopes that Jesus will side with him. And so much for thinking that he's going to go back to his brother and say, "Hey, bro, guess what? Jesus said you have to share with me." Jesus isn't about to be dragged into this dispute over possessions, and he won't let his words become a tool for our desires. This bickering over things isn't what Jesus has been appointed for. His authority, and he does have authority, his authority is for something else. Now, maybe the disciples had started sniggering when they heard someone request Jesus to divide the inheritance. Maybe others in the crowd rolled their eyes or gave knowing looks as if to say, "We would never ask Jesus something so stupid." That would have been my reaction, at least on the inside. So Jesus said to them, not just to someone, but to everyone, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions." Our Lord's words get to the soul of the matter. Jesus isn't appointed to be judge or arbitrator of inheritances, but of souls. He cares way less about who gets your uncle's property than he does about who gets your soul. Where your great-grandma's dresser ends up is of far less importance than where you end up. Possessions, material stuff, money, goods, that's what Jesus is talking about here. He knows the hold stuff has on our lives. What should our proper attitude be toward our stuff? Does life consist of these things? And what do our words and our actions say about us? Covetousness, the sinful attachment to things, and the consuming desire for more is a matter of the heart. It doesn't care what your bank account looks like. It affects both rich and poor. Have we treated our stuff as our God? Have we let stuff come between us and other people? Do we expect our stuff to make us more secure, to give us joy, or to rescue us from trouble? But I'll tell you right now, stuff makes a terrible God. You already know this. The stuff you had 30 years ago, you don't have any longer. All our stuff breaks, or it rusts, or it gets lost, or it loses its shine. And what good is our stuff when death comes? I can't help but hear Ebenezer Scrooge sitting in his counting house counting coins. 97, 98, 99, enslaved to it. His life defined by what he has. Take care, Jesus says. Be on your guard against the covetousness of your own heart. But if life doesn't consist in the abundance of our possessions, of what does your life consist? If it's not he who dies with the most toys wins, then what is it? It's not your relationship with things, but who you are in relation to God. After all, what do you have that you have not been given? Who gave you all your stuff and the means to get more? Doesn't it ultimately come from God? Now, Jesus drives this home with one of his parables, the story of a rich fool. It goes like this. The land of a rich man, a man whom God had already blessed with great wealth, that land produced a large crop. And it starts to set our wheels spinning. It makes you wonder, what's a person who already has everything he needs going to do with even more stuff? Will he give it away? Will he share it with others? No, of course not. He thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones. I'll add more space or rent a storage unit. And there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, oh soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. He thinks that he's set for life. And I suppose that from the perspective of this world, as long as his life lasts, he actually is. His present and his future are secure as far as he can see. But then he can't see all that far, can he? This man is so coiled in that he can't see anyone or anything else. All he sees is himself and his stuff piled high. Think about what he says. What shall I do? For I have my crops. I'll do my barns, my grain, my goods, and I will say to my soul. Isn't that the incarnation of selfishness? He thinks of no one else, consults with no one else, works for the good of no one else, not for God or family or country. His things have become his life. All that stuff that he possesses now possesses him. And then something he didn't foresee, God. God enters the story. God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Not yours. What will happen to all your stuff? To your crops and your barns and your grain and your goods? And what will happen to your soul? Vanity. All is vanity and a striving after wind. That's what Solomon said after he built his many barns and strived for stuff. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, one remedy for worry and anxiety over wealth, one solution to obsessing over our things is quite simple. It's to give them away. Fear and thank God for what he gives. Enjoy his gifts, especially in the company of others, and freely give away what you don't need. In fact, that seems to be how the first Christians lived. They had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. I almost imagine one large church garage sale happening. Of what then does your life consist? Of what did life consist for the first Christians? not the abundance of our possessions. But St. Paul reminds us today of what our life actually does consist. Christ is your life, he says. Someone, that man who came to Jesus, wanted half an inheritance on earth, but Christ offered way more, a whole inheritance in heaven. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich with the riches of heaven, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his grace, by his poverty, might become rich in his grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ set aside his inheritance. He left everything he had. He became nothing. You could say that he even burned his barns. And why did he do it? For what? For you. That you might be his own and live under him in his kingdom. To make you his treasured possession, because your soul and body were worth more to him than his own life. And think about his life for a minute. What was the value of our Lord's life? The price set on his head was 30 pieces of silver. And yet when Judas watched Jesus being led to the cross, when Judas sat there counting out his coins, he saw what a fool he'd been. But he totally missed the foolishness of the cross. For the word of the cross is folly, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power and the wisdom of God. You were purchased at the cost of Christ's blood. And can you even count that high? His blood is of infinite worth and of infinite value, and when he gave it for you, he said that you are infinitely precious to him. He was appointed to be your Savior. He came not as judge or arbitrator, but as the one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all and even for you. And his authority is not in dividing inheritances. It is not in splitting pennies. His authority is in forgiving sins and setting them as far from you as the east is from the west, even your greed and your covetousness. In Christ, you have more than ample goods laid up for many years. In Christ, you have a heavenly Father who knows what you need and well provides. In Christ, you have the gift of daily bread from his hand. In Christ, you have the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. In Christ, you have the forgiveness of sins, life and eternal salvation in his body and his blood. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are below on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is your life, and your life is hidden in him. And already you are sons and daughters of the King, and already your future is secure. So don't be deceived. The abundance of your possessions can add nothing to what is already yours. So this is what Jesus says today. If you want an inheritance, have mine. Take what I give. Because he came not just to divide his inheritance with you, but to give it all to you. All of it. Like Solomon, he said, I'm going to die and someone is going to get all of it. Yes, that's exactly it. Jesus died, and who will get the things that he has left behind? But you. You inherit everything from Christ, even heaven itself. We'd be fools to turn that down. We'd be fools to cling to our stuff when we've got Christ. So hear what God says to your soul today. He says, dear Christian, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Not because you've got it made in this world, but because Christ is your life, and his inheritance is your inheritance, and your soul belongs to him, now and forever. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.